Trying to get something to go here. Mm-hmm, sure am. I got it. Yeah, I got it. All right. God's got this. I was going to stand up a little quicker, but I've got to stop for technical difficulties. Modern technology is awesome when it works. Amen. Now, God's been awful good to this church over the years. And one of the reasons God's been so good to this church over the years is because we've been good to send out people and to support them. And so right now, we've got some long-time friends of the church, and among the long-time friends of the church, they're coming through, they're passing through, and of course, you know we wanted to pass through here. Amen. Okay, and that's Dick and Clara Barkley. And they're back there in the back. I want y'all to stand up. And I was going to try to find a mic. Let's see. This is check it out. Check, one, test, two. I'm talking to my own mics. So I don't know. I'm not sure this works or not anymore. Here you go. I turned it on. Check. It's not working. Battery's dead. All right. See, we got corded mics up here, so we're not really changing the batteries in the other ones. So, praise God.
You can come get this one. This one works.
Okay. DC, can you hand him that mic? There you go. DC, I'll hand you the mic. Brother Dick, I told him, I said, I look at your picture all the time. It's right there in the back in the office. He's got those bars on his shoulder, the catnip bars. He said, you still got my picture up? I said, yeah, it's still effective. He says, yeah. I said, there's no insects coming in that building back there. Go ahead, Brother Dick.
Thank you, Pastor. Back in the 1980s, two little girls came up here for some reason, for some gathering. They met in this church, and they came back home. We lived in Arapahoe. They said, that's where you all need to be going to church. After just one time up here for them, we came and we found out what they were talking about.
Yes.
We immediately started coming to here three times a week from Arapahoe. And it wasn't long before you sent us out to the mission field. 1990, went off with mercy ships. For many, many years, this church supported us financially, spiritually, prayerfully. We're so grateful for that.
Amen.
We still consider this our home church.
Amen.
Even though we're off retired in Florida with where our children and grandchildren and great-grandchild live. And we love to come back whenever we can. We just love all you people and thankful. So thankful for all of you. And one thing I miss is blessing time. Jimmy Peel would stand up and say, it's blessing time. I miss that today.
Well, he's saying it. He's still saying it, but in a different place.
He's still saying it. He's sure. God bless you all. We love you.
Amen. Sister? Awesome. 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 How many in here has ever been stressed out? How many is stressed out now? Oh, it's okay. We're amongst family. Okay, you may not be stressed out in some areas, but everybody in here is stressed out in certain areas. Amen? I thought about that when I thought about when you look for a new car. You know you need to buy a new car. You know your car's stressed out. You know you need to buy a new car when you pull over to let a fire truck go by and it stops behind you. Step back. We got this. Or you have to go to a repair center every 1,000 miles to get your duct tape replaced. Or you accidentally drive into a junkyard, drive out and get accused of stealing. Woo! Or the blue book lists your car under health risk. The only thing holding your bumper on is that Dukakis Benson 88 sticker. You return your car and find someone broke in and left $100 in a new stereo. Yeah, I had a Chevette one time. I had a club in it. Somebody broke in, stole the club, left the car. Yeah. All right. You know you need to get another car when Evel Knievel refuses a free lift. How many remember Evel Knievel? Jumped the Grand Canyon. The valet, you know you need a new car when the valet puts on a crash helmet and full body armor before parking your car. All right. You know you need a new car when the guys at the repair shop refer you to Dr. Kevorkian. You need a new car. That car is stressed out. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about today about when you're stressed out, and we're going to call it all different kinds of things. Because I don't know how many times this is going to go. I don't know how many weeks this is going to be. And I asked Brother Dick next time he comes by, if you let me know he's coming by, we'll go ahead and put him on schedule and get him to preach for us. I know y'all love to hear him preach again. So next time you're coming through, brother, give me a call ahead of time. We'll fix it up. You'll be the man with the plan. Amen. Amen. So now, get your Bibles out and turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah. The old book of Isaiah. We're going to talk to those that are stressed out today. Worn out. Anybody worn out today? Well, I have to agree. Some of you do look like you've been worn out kind of hard here. Isaiah 40, stand for the reading of the word. We just go to verse 28. God is awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Amen. We're going to talk today for just a few minutes, hopefully just a few minutes, but I guarantee you once we get going, I guarantee you when you leave this place, you'll feel better. Amen. Not because of me, but because of God's word. Remember, it's never because of me. It's never because of the singers. It's because of God's Spirit and because of God's Word and God's power and God's anointing. Amen? It's always because of that. So here we go. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord and the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Wow. In other words, he don't get tired. Somebody say he don't get tired. Amen. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount it with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. We know, God, that you're working in our midst. We know, God, that everything that's going to happen this day has already happened. It's been awesome. God, your Spirit can be felt here in a very powerful way, Lord. I know, God, you're doing a new thing in our midst, and we thank you for it, Lord. We know, God, that this is the threshold of something awesome, and we thank you for that. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mightily to everyone that's in this place today, God. Help them, Lord, to get their second wind, Lord. Help them feel that wind beneath their wings, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and y'all be seated. Amen. Getting your second wind, the wind beneath your wings. Now, I'm going to tell you, I already told you about your car, and let me talk about you. You know that you're wired. You know that you're tired and you're wired. You know, it seems like when I get tired, I get wired. Amen? When I used to work swing shift, and then especially the first couple of days of third shift, woo, get away from me. Amen. I was wired and tired. Amen. So how do you know? I'm going to give you a little couple of hints here that you know that you're wired and you're tired, okay? Number one, you answer the door before people knock. That person's wired up. Number nine, you get a speeding ticket and you were parked. Amen. Number eight, you chew other people's fingernails. That's bad. Look. You walk 20 miles on your treadmill before you realize it's not plugged in. Woo! Watch this. You channel surf faster without a remote. Number five. This is what my wife tells me all the time. Number five. You can outlast the Energizer Bunny. I've been accused of this one too. You short out motion detectors. You have a cry over spilt milk. Okay. Mark that one. Out. Okay. All right. You help the dog. You help your dog chase its tail. Are you wired then? Ah! Quit running around now. I'll help you catch it if you'll quit running. Number one, Charles Manson thinks you need to calm down. All right, so this stuff's going on. You're wired. You're tired. You're wired. You need to be refired. Amen. That should have been the name of the sermon. Tired, wired, and refired. I'll think of that some other time. I have another. Maybe that's next week. Tired, fired, and yes, whatever. Okay. I'm trying to do it, people. All right. Here we go. So now, picture from nature. God uses so many examples from nature to describe so many things, different countries. We can tell the countries that are going to attack. And see, if he had used the names at the time, nobody actually would know what it meant. Some of those names weren't even around then. And right now, some of the names keep getting changed from time to time, moved around. But the lion and the bear, the leopard, all that, we see that and we know that. And so we know Russia and China, and we know the Middle East. We know what's going on there. So he uses that for Satan. He uses the serpent. And for Jesus, actually he uses two great ones. And first is the lamb, talking about his redemptive nature. And secondly is the lion, talking about his reigning nature. But then he talks about us versus Israel. The eagle is Israel. And then the church. Some of us don't understand that God calls us eagles. Some people think he calls us turkeys. Amen. I'm not a turkey. I'm an eagle. You're not a turkey. You're an eagle. God has something great planned in your life. Let me just tell you a few facts about the eagle. And then we're going to talk about some things pretty awesome here. The eagle is mentioned 32 times in the Word of God. It's mentioned more than any other bird in the Word of God. It is called the king of birds, just as the lion is called the king of the jungle. Anything says anything made up of flesh and blood, pound for pound, is not stronger than the eagle. The eagle is the greatest animal on the earth. Think about this thing now. Matter of fact, they actually, their wingspan can go up to as high as 8 foot wide. And these guys, they live to be around 40 years old. And I'm telling you, it's just some very powerful things. Their nest can be 10 foot across, and their nest can weigh 2,000 pounds. Think about these mighty eagles. Now, not only that, but they got eyesight like you wouldn't believe. These guys can see over a mile. They can be in the altitude of 1,000 feet. And a rabbit running across the field at 1,000 feet. Their eyes can span 3 square miles. And they can see that rabbit from 1,000 feet, and it's a mile away, and it's in a 3-mile square area, and it can come down and with precision attack it. Have you ever seen one? I was riding here one Sunday night, and the sun was glistening on the water, and here come an eagle. It went right down, went straight down, picked up a fish, and flew away toward the sunset, and I saw the fish wiggling and glittering as the eagle flew away with it. One Sunday, we were leaving here, and two eagles were fighting over the same fish. And there's a phenomenon eagles do anyway. They'll get together, and they'll lock their hands together, or their claws together, the talons, and they'll do like a cartwheel or like a Ferris wheel. Well, these in the middle of the highway, up above, it's like they were suspended, and they started spinning like a Ferris wheel. And then I saw a half of a fish fall down. The other one flew away, and the other one was trying to get that fish. Of course, got out of the car, scared him off. I didn't mean to. I wanted him to get that fish. I mean, he fought hard for it. So you see, and eagles, they're the only bird that does not fear the storm because they have a special membrane that comes down over their eyes. They, no matter how bad the storm, they fly through the storm while the other birds are perching somewhere or hiding. They fly through the storm, the special membrane over their eyes. They can see. It's like goggles. Shields down, number one. And they fly up into the storm until they find the sun. And once they find the sun, they fly above the storm until the storm is gone. Wow. Eagles are awesome. That's some awesome things. Let me tell you some other things about eagles here. Some more eagle facts. They will always build its nest in the heights of the mountain upon a rock. They will claim a rock, and he never changes that rock. That's his. Wow. That rock, that tree, wherever he's at. All right. And he always dies looking toward his rock. Why did God call us eagles? Well, see this. They mate for life, and eagle parents, they do everything together. And again, it does not fear the storm, but welcomes it because it flies above it. I can always tell when I'm riding down the road and I see it looking kind of rough outside. I can tell when the storm's coming because you see the eagle flying really, really high, meaning he's already sensed the storm and he's preparing to fly above the storm, and all the other animals and all the other birds are going down. So that's some powerful, powerful things. Now, an eagle is to be 40 years old, some a little bit more, some a little bit less. But you got this 40-year-old eagle, and somewhere around the 20th anniversary, his 20th birthday, maybe his 25th birthday, sometimes his 30th birthday, things start happening. Matter of fact, stress comes on this great, powerful bird that God calls Israel and calls us the eagle. When you say, well, we're even mentioned in Scripture, there's a place in Scripture that says the eagle comes and delivers Israel. People believe it. What's our symbol? The bald eagle. I'm glad that Benjamin Franklin didn't have his way. Benjamin Franklin, what did Benjamin Franklin want our national symbol to be? The turkey. Yeah, gobble, gobble. That would scare somebody. Yeah. Okay, so now, so something happens. It begins to have stuff growing on its beak, and its eyes grow dim, and it's not as sharp as it once was. It can't see that mile away. They can't see that three square area. All this stuff starts happening. So when the bird begins to feel the loss and to feel itself brought down like this, then it does a process. It says here, and here's the process. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then it talks about the eagle. Now, they that wait upon the Lord. We think waiting is just sitting here going, okay, God, here it is. I'm waiting. No. It's not a cessation of activity. It's a realignment to activity. Yeah, weight means to bind or to twist. It means to combine our strength with an outside source. And who's the outside source? They that wait upon the shall renew their strength. So you bind with the Lord. Because I can guarantee you, something's going to hit today that you can't handle. Something's going to hit this week that you're going to first hear it and your heart's going to go, huh? You're going to take a deep breath. Huh? And you know what? Immediately, the Bible says, just like Samson, whenever the enemy came upon him, what did the Bible say? Before he did his great exploit, what did the Bible say? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. All right? When we find ourselves in that bad times, when we find are overworked, overdone, wired, fried, when we find ourselves, we just can't take anymore, we're ready to shoot somebody. Theoretically, hypothetically, you're not going to really kill anybody. Amen? Okay, I hope not. All right. So here's what happens. Here. So weight means to bind. It means to twist. It means to combine your strength with that outside source, which is God. So watch this now. Let's just take this a little further. The Bible tells us that come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word labor means to be exhausted physically. How many has been exhausted physically lately? Amen? There's always something that comes with being exhausted physically. Did you know that these we're so intertwined, our being is so intertwined, that it says another heavy laden, which means to be exhausted mentally. Usually when you're exhausted physically, you'll find yourself snapping at people, snapping at others. You can't handle things. You get kind of, you know, but my knees have been great since I lost this 65 pounds. My knees have been great. Every now and then it still hurts because they're injured and they still want to operate on them, but taking 65 pounds off of them has been an awesome thing. But now, Thursday, we're getting ready to go to the Pitt Detention Center. So guess what my knee decides to do? Pop out. And then I go to school and I step on the bleachers. And when I get up on the bleachers, I'm hearing it go pop, 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 pop. And on the bleachers, I'm going, this ain't good. I got to go to Pitt Detention Center. I climbed in the van. I heard it go pop, pop, pop. I'm like, oh, no. And so we went to Pitt Detention Center. And I was hoping, Doug was back there with me in the federal side. And I was hoping nobody wanted me to go up. No. People upstairs, can you get the white-haired guy to come up here? Okay. And so I was thinking, out of all times, but you know what? I found myself not being my normal self because that pain, it was a gnawing pain. You know, the next day it was better. But that day, in the hardest time when I really needed it, there was the knee, you know, acting crazy. And so again, when you're physically exhausted or physically hurting, it will exhaust you mentally. You'll find yourself not being so easy to be around. You know, I had an uncle one time that was so hard to get along with. He was so mean, he would have to hold a gun to his head when he shaved to keep from cutting his own throat. He was a bad, bad man. Amen. Okay, so he says, take my yoke upon of you. You're stressed out. Somebody say stressed out. Don't say it like Kirk Douglas. I'm stressed out. Amen. So he says, take my yoke upon you. That word yoke means a device, the big old thing that goes on from one. It actually yokes up the oxen. So where one can pull 1,000, maybe one can pull 1,900, or 1,000, one can pull 900, together they can pull 3,000 pounds because of synergy. And so God says, let me synergize with you and watch what will happen. So here we are. Here we go. When we wait on the Lord, it brings renewal. How many could use some renewal in your life? Yeah, how many can say, well, I'd like to be able to leave this place and feel like I have been through a spiritual car wash? Amen. When I leave this place, I'm going to say, wow, this was awesome. I am so glad I came. Amen. I hope you say that. Look, that word renewal strength renewed means to pierce or to change. It means to abolish, alter, change, cut off, go on, forward, grow up. That's a lot of words here. Renew, sprout, to strike through. And so when you think about this, some of you, your heart right now has gotten crusty because of all this. God wants to strike through your heart. Some of you, you need some wings, and God's letting it happen to you so your wings will sprout. You know, so all this stuff's going on, but God says, wait on me, and you'll see what I'm going to do for you. So here we go. Here we go. Here's the resolution. And I'm not going to keep you too long, maybe. If I do, y'all pray for me. Amen. So here's the realization. Watch this now. The eagle, at about 20, 25, the eagle finds himself, it's hard to soar anymore. See how the other birds have to flap to get off the ground. The eagle's up high, and the eagle just soars. You don't see eagles flapping. They may flap every now and then, but when they're coming down for a dive, they can come down at a dive at over 100 miles an hour. From 1,000 foot in the air, they've seen that rabbit that's crossed the three square miles. He sees that rabbit from 1,000 foot in the air. He comes down at 100 miles an hour. 100! Can I say that loud enough? 100 miles an hour. And without, I can't even see me trying to, I can see me 100 miles an hour, I'll be doing like this trying to, when I'm coming down to the ground. He comes straight down, picks up that rabbit, and keeps on going. Rabbit never knows what hit him. Why? Because of that strength and that agility. But when he's about 20, 25 years old, all of a sudden, he starts getting overgrown, and his ability begins to fade. And not only does it begin to fade, but watch this now. His eyesight starts getting dim. His beak and his talons get overgrown. His beacon and talons get overgrown with calcium deposits and other things. So now, instead of that sharp beak, now that beak is dull. And instead of being to look down and aim like an arrow, now he's got stuff on top of it like rocks and stuff he can't see anymore. His eyes are getting bad off. His ability to hunt is going away. His ability to defend himself is going away. Some of y'all in here right now are saying, wow, he camped in my backyard last night. Amen? So now, they're never satisfied because their ability is fading to do what eagles do. Some of y'all in here right now, you're saying, wow, that eagle, his last name must be Linton or Smith or Jones. Or, wow, man, this sounds like something I'm going through right now. And I can't find myself satisfied because of all that's going on. So here's what he does. Now this is a very powerful thing. I'm trying not to keep you long. But this is very powerful. I described this one time before many, many years ago. But the Lord keeps telling me, there's some people need to hear this. All right. So here's what the eagle does. I want you to listen carefully. When he finds himself where he can't hunt anymore, his eyes are dim, everything's growing over, his talons have lost their sharpness, and they're overgrown. It looks pitiful. I've seen some pictures of this. These talons and stuff, they look pitiful. You know, last night I was watching Star Trek for its 50th anniversary, and they went somewhere and radiation hit them, and they all got old real fast, and they were going to die of old age in 3 or 4 days. And I watched them get really, really old, and then I watched them, they treated them with adrenaline, and all of a sudden, they're doing fine. And I thought about it, I said, wow, it's amazing. That should come on while I'm working on this sermon. Amen. So today, we can look at God and say, beam me up, Scotty. Here's what the eagle does. First, it goes to the ground. It finds a place to rocks all around it. It goes to the ground. And then it begins this painful process. It pulls out all of its feathers. Nobody else does it for him. He pulls out his feathers. And after he pulls out his feathers, after they're gone, now he can't fly, right? He takes his beak. And he beats it against the rock until the beak is destroyed. And then he lays there and he cries and he waits. He stays there in his spot, no wings or no feathers, no beak, what's left of a beak, and he cries. And waits. Wow. It's bad enough he's 25, 30 years old. He doesn't have maybe 10 more years to go. And it's bad enough he'd already lost his ability to hunt and couldn't see good and all of that. But now, he could do nothing but stay, cry, and wait. I want y'all to think about this because some of y'all, this is exactly your address right now. You can't fix your problem. It's got you in a bind. You can't fly. You can't sing. You can't hunt. And God says, I want to restore you, but you got to come to this point where you defeat flesh, put it aside. Defeat the stuff that's against you. Just do nothing. Don't fight it. Just cry, pray, and wait. So watch this. While this is going on, the other eagles fly above. The whole time this process, the eagles are flying over, the young eagles. They're flying over, and they keep the predators away. So they're there. This eagle can't do anything. It's lost all hope, it seems like. Now he's down there with no wing or no feathers, no beak, and he's crying and waiting, and he's waiting for the dawn, something to happen for his youth to be renewed. That's what it said, youth to be renewed like the eagle. So while he's waiting, the other eagles are flying over him and keeping the predators away because he, right at this time, is at the most vulnerable point in his life. He can't defend himself. He can't fly away. He can't fight. He's had his talons, his everything just been beat up against the rocks. And so, while you're waiting, God's got people and angels protecting you, looking out for you while you're waiting. None of that. While they're flying above, they also not only defend him, but they drop food, whatever he can eat. They drop food to help him survive this pain and this agony that he's going through. So I want you to think about something. In this time of seclusion, there's been a productive pain. He's been protected. There's provision and there's progress. Because while he's going through this, you got to watch what happens now. While the others are flying above and the others are keeping him safe, keeping him protected, he's looking up and he's crying. He can't do anything else. He just cries and waits. Some of y'all in here, if you can realize, sometimes you can't do anything about it. You have to pray and wait. But while you're praying and waiting, God is still protecting you and still providing for you. And so now, over a period of time, the feathers and the beak begin to grow back. When the feathers and the beak begin to grow back, there's an oil sac on its chest. What he does is he pierces it with that new beak. And he gets the oil and he spreads it all over its feathers. As you're coming back around, the Holy Spirit's in you. And the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you again. Just one more time, just pour it on you and anoint you in a way like you've never felt before. Also, while he's there and his beak's grown back and his feathers grow back, his sight is restored and his agility returns. Wow. You see, the wait. While you're waiting, the mighty becomes dependent. Amen? The eagle. He waits for his wings to grow back. He loses his self-dependence. Oh, self-dependence. I can't say that loud enough. He loses his self-dependence. He loses that. He learns to lean on God as his source, and he learns to lean on others to help. And then he learns what really it means to have a sacrifice of praise. When he's down in that valley and his feathers are gone, his beak is gone, his talons are gone, and he can do nothing but cry, that is his time that he has learned the sacrifice of praise. Now, and then those through, I'm going to just come back to us now. See, because once that bird realizes this, once it comes back out, he takes the oil, he anoints his wings, his eyesight comes back, he comes out of that valley, and now he can again, at 100 or 1,000 feet, drop 100 miles an hour and catch a rabbit 3 miles square. Wow. Wow. So now, some of us in here, we're wondering, well, what's going on? Well, what's happening in my life? You know, sometimes God's given us time, a time of resolve, a time of seclusion. You're thinking, God, I feel all alone. How many of you ever said to God, I'm hurting and I just feel all alone? I'm going through something, and I don't think anybody even notices what's going on. You see, it's during this, that productive pain, that God is causing us to lose our self-dependence. And he's causing us to wait on God. You see, there's a lot of things I can do, but there's more things I can't do. And I'm pretty smart at times. Sometimes I'm pretty dumb. But I'm pretty smart at times, but you know what? All of us is smarter than one of us. All of us are stronger than one of us. So, it's a productive pain. It's a protection. We learn to lean on God as our strength. And if God don't protect us, it ain't going to happen. Why? God, you're my strength. There's been a many a time I walked through the halls of a hospital. I remember the time I had to walk through the halls of a hospital and hold a newborn baby that was stillborn. And the daddy was asking me why. The baby was healthy. The mama got in a wreck. Her belly hit the steering wheel. And by the time they could get to the baby was dead. And he held his baby in his hands. And his baby looked looked normal, looked fine, just had his eyes closed like it was sleeping, and it had a little toboggan on it, wrapped up in the blanket. And the baby was handed to him, and he handed it to me, and he just cried, and he cried, and he cried. And he said, "What did this baby do? What did I do? What's going on?" And if he could have heard me on the way to pick that baby up, I was saying, "God, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your comfort so I can help comfort him." I remember one time a young man wouldn't give me time of day. This young man didn't want me to be around him. And he shot a man by accident, in a hunting accident. And his daddy called me and says, "Can you come around here?" And I said to myself, "He don't want to see me. He never wants to see me. He can't stand me to be around him. It scares him. He runs and run." But that's not what I said. I said, "I'll be right there." And I remember on the way, I said, "God, I got to have your strength. I got to have your anointing. I got to have you help me, God, because I don't know what to do. I've got no idea what to do. The guy won't talk to me. He just killed a man. They're gonna charge him with murder because they said it was bad blood." And I remember walking in, and when I walked in, he was all to pieces, and he looked over at me, and he ran. And when he ran, he fell on me and just started crying. I was saying, "With God, what do I do?" And the Lord told me and said, "Just hold him and wait." I stayed with him for 2 hours. For an hour and a half, all we did was hold each other, and he cried. I cried with him. At the end, I led him to Jesus Christ. Put a bond between us that I don't think will ever be broken. But he told everybody, "Wow, I'm so glad the pastor came." He knew exactly what to say. He didn't say anything. Nothing. But you see, it's in those times like that, you learn to trust God and say, "God, if you don't do it, it's not going to be done. If you don't help me, God, there's no way. It's impossible for me." So you see, you know, you learn to lean on God for strength. You learn to lean on God as your source. If God doesn't provide, it's not going to happen. Some of y'all in here right now, you're wondering what's going on. What's happening? You feel like that eagle. You're down in the valley. You didn't even pluck them out. Somebody else plucked them out for you. Your feathers are gone. Your beak is gone. Your talons are gone. You can't fly. And you're wondering, "God, how long?" You see, there's progress. You don't even realize it. Just like Samson in that meal. He said his hair was growing back. No eyes. But he said, "Lord, one more time. One more time. Let me take care of business one more time." You see, when you find yourself like this, your life grows back in order. The Holy Ghost brings a fresh anointing. Your discernment gets restored. Because now, when once you've gone through that dark valley and you feel all alone, your feathers are gone, your beak is gone, you can't see, you don't even know what's going on, you'll find out that during this time, that God's working a work in you that cannot be worked any other way. And when you find yourself coming out of this valley, something special is going to happen. Something very powerful is going to happen. Watch this. Here's the problem. I'm going to be honest with you. And this, take this as a warning when you're going through this. Some of us eagles, God's eagles, we never make it through the process. We get destroyed before trying. We give up in the middle of the process. We don't realize that God's got angels over us. We don't realize, although it may not be the steak and potatoes, maybe a peanut butter sandwich, but God is providing our needs. Ask Elijah. Elijah, during that famine, it said the ravens came and gave him meat, and he was by the brook. Well, you know what? Let me just tell you something. Everything was dying around him. That word raven, if you look it up in Hebrew, that word raven is buzzard. Where do buzzards get their meat? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We could call it, matter of fact, I've been working on a sermon for years. I got to finish it one day. Elijah and his Roadkill Cafe. You see, some never make it through this because they're destroyed before they even try this. Or they give up in the middle of the process and say, if that's the way God's going to let me be treated, then I'm going to quit. I won't do it anymore. And don't realize that God is actually building you bigger and better than before. Like the $6 million man, we can rebuild him. It's amazing to me, the $6 million man, they just put legs on him and put an arm on him and he could pick up a mountain. They didn't put a back in him. You know, maybe you hear that, something will get ready to happen. Well, Satan's hearing you right now. And he's hearing that, God's done something special with you. I'm closing. Those who make it discover new freshness. They discover new strength. They discover new boldness. They discover new freedom. And they soar. Wow. You see, y'all guys, come on up here. Some of y'all in here have got to realize you need to get your second wind back. You need to get it back. God's not through with you. God hadn't quit. You know, on Tuesday nights, I'm going over a 7-day plan. Only did 2 days this week, maybe do 2 days this week coming up. But every morning when you get up, here's what I want you to read. First, I want you to read the lie that Satan says. I want you to read the truth that God says, and I want you to go by His Word. I'm going to try to make a little booklet out of it so we can take it in a 7-day plan for getting your identity back in Christ. And you can pass them out to people. It'll be fine. Don't give up. Don't give in. Your second wind's coming. He said, if you wait upon the Lord, your youth will be renewed like the eagle. That sounds all awesome. You think, wow, that's an awesome thing. Youth renewed like an eagle. But when you find out what an eagle does, that ain't so awesome, is it? It's painful. But it's amazing what happens at the end. Everybody please stand. I love that song. I come to the garden. Wow, that's awesome. Some of y'all right now need to get in that garden alone and trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Right now, I'm not going to give you any specifics. I'm just going to say you need God to do something for you. Come on up here. You need God to show you. You need God to help you. You need God to assure you that everything's going to be all right. You need God to help you see that although your youth is being renewed like an eagle, this is not the end, but it's the beginning. That you may feel featherless right now and beakless, and you can't see and you can't fight and don't understand what's going on. And God says, hold on, I'm protecting you. You're learning now to trust me. You're learning now to depend on me. You're learning now that if I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. All that will, come and pray. Whatever you need to pray for, all, come and pray. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Sing it with me. Guess what? If you're in that position right now and you feel like your feathers have been plucked out, your beak has been beat, God's saying, now I got you. Now I got you where I can work with you. Now you're not going to try it on your own. Like those guys in Pitt Detention Center said, why would God allow me to get here? And I said, because he wants you to stop long enough for him to do what he wants to do in your life. He can't do it as long as you keep trying to do it yourself. Matter of fact, the more you try to do it yourself, the worse it gets. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, it hurts. No, I'm not doing the way I'd like to do. Yes, there's more I know that's got to be done. But God, I thank you, because if you don't do it, it won't be done. God, I've got to trust you more. Thank you, Father. Glory! Praise the Lamb of God. God, you've got to do it. I need that second wind. I need you to touch me. I need you to lift me up, God. I need you, Lord, to protect me. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. God is God is God is God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. 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 God is awesome. Of God. Y'all sing that. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Joy we share. Okay. Ever known joy we share as we tarry, other has ever known.
Sister, our title was pulled out.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I appreciate that message. It was for me, because I'm going through that waiting process now and the healing process. But I had a bad night last night that hurt all night. But there are days that it doesn't hurt. So the Lord is still healing that. And I just wanted to say, I really appreciate that. That's as good a message as I've ever heard.
God is God. All the time. All the time. God. Amen. I'm asking Brother Dick to dismiss us in prayer. Just hold this thing right here.
It don't look like a microphone, but it is.
Lord, we just praise your name. We thank you for being you, for being our Savior, Lord. Just lead us and guide us to be witnesses for you as we go out of these doors. And everything we say, everything we do, let us be your witnesses on this earth. We thank you. God bless. Amen.